Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
The whole scale of it is just, it's mesmerising. All of those bodies and all of the families.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
From the BBC World Service, welcome to The Documentary, the home of original storytelling. I'm Lucy Hockings, here with a bonus episode of the Global Story podcast. Each weekday, we look at one big story in detail. In this episode, we're talking about divorce. Why is it becoming less common in some countries? And how is the end of a marriage viewed by different cultures around the world? They say that breaking up is hard to do, and that seems to be particularly true in many Western countries, where divorce rates have been steadily falling for the last few decades. On today's episode, we look at some of the main reasons people decide to get divorced, or never get married at all. We consider the effects on families, finances, and emotional well-being at a time that some people say is the most stressful in life. With me today is Joanna Gosling, a longtime BBC journalist and presenter who now works as a mediator for couples considering divorce, and Marina Adshade, who is a professor at the Vancouver School of Economics and regularly contributes to BBC programmes. Hi, Marina. Good to see you.
It's great to be here.
Joanna, lovely to have you with us in the studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Joanna, you sadly left us here at the BBC to pursue a career in mediation. But why did you choose to work in what must at times be really acrimonious, really tense, that environment, working with couples who are divorcing?
Yeah, there was sort of lots of things really going on for me, both in my personal experience and also my work experience. So interviewing many people over the years where you'd come across someone who was in a situation and finding it very difficult. And then in the mix of that, I had my own personal experiences of difficult situations and I got divorced. And so all of that was taking me down this path of how do we have good conversations? How do we listen well? And so I went off and trained as a mediator. And yes, it obviously can be high conflict. It's dealing with people at the most difficult time of their lives often. But I do it because I really care about supporting people through those difficult times and getting them as much as I can through to the other side so that they can live their life as they want it to be.
And Marina, you're at the Vancouver School of Economics. Now, what's that got to do with divorce?
Yeah, so I'm an unusual economist. I work on the economics of sex and love. I've been doing this, going back like 15 years when I decided to teach an economics course on sex and love for my students just to get them interested in economics. And it's kind of snowballed from there. It is absolutely an economic story because we know that economics has a big role to play in why people both marry and divorce. And then, of course, we have some skills for looking at global data.
We're going to delve into a lot of these issues. But I was surprised to hear that in Western countries, divorce rates are actually on the decline. Why do you think that is, Marina?
Everybody is always surprised by this. And the media tends to perpetuate this idea that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And that was true at one point in time. It was true like maybe in the early 1980s. But it's been in decline for a while. Fewer people are getting married. People getting married when they're older. People who marry when they're older are more likely to stay married. So this is going to play a big role in it. We've seen a big change in what I call marriage equality, where it used to be that people who were educated and had high incomes married at roughly the same rate as the people who had lower incomes and less education, but that's really changed. So now we're seeing mostly educated people getting married relative to people who have less education, and those people tend to stay married, right? So a lot of it has to do with the composition of who is marrying today.
So Marina, as populations get better educated, divorce rates actually fall.
That is consistent with what we see in the data. And then the more educated, the less likely people are to get divorced. Like, so people like me with PhDs are less likely to get divorced than anybody else in the population.
That's the West. But if you look at countries like India and China, we're seeing divorce rates go up. How difficult is it for us, Marina, to compare countries and compare statistics with what's going on?
Well, you know, it's incredibly difficult. In fact, even in Canada, I can't tell you what the divorce rate is here because the National Statistical Agency doesn't collect that data. I'm actually not surprised that divorce rates appear to be increasing in those countries, because those countries are at a different stage of development than many of the countries in the West. And we did see an increase in divorce rates, say, over the 20th century, and then a decline. And you would expect in countries like India and China, you would have the same pattern.
Lots of things have surprised me looking into this. Joanna, did you know there's a few places in the world where the divorce rate is zero because it's illegal to get divorced?
Yeah, not many places.
The Vatican.
Yep.
For obvious reasons. But also the Philippines. And our BBC colleague Johnny Diamond was there recently and spoke to politicians and people that he met about this.
This option should be available for the Filipino people. What destroys the family is an abusive relationship that we Filipinos should be able to get out of.
Probably I'm one of those women who are not even encouraged to get married right now, because we don't see the reason why to get married if you don't have the chance to get out of it if something happens to you.
Is there anyone in the room who is in favor of the current situation?
So I'm in favor because sometimes people forget what is the really meaning of marriage. It's a commitment. Loving is not about, if it's hard, then I quit. I need to fight for the choice that I made.
Just thinking again, Joanna, about, say, China and India, there was an interesting thing they did in China where they introduced this cooling off period. Mm-hmm. So the government enforced this. Does that work when the government intervenes in a situation like this and makes people behave or do things in a certain way?
If nothing changes in the dynamic between two people, being told that they've got to cool off and wait a bit longer, I don't think is going to make them suddenly realise that they want to be together. It might be an idea for states to invest in communication programmes for these couples, because that's invariably why relationships fall apart, because they're not feeling seen or heard in that relationship. And so unless something shifts in that regard, as I say, being told that you've got to stay in it a bit longer for whatever reason isn't going to probably change anyone's mind.
Marina, what about India? Because historically, divorce is very low in India, but we are starting to see an increase.
You know, historically in India, many, many marriages were arranged marriages. And arranged marriages do have a tendency to have a significantly lower divorce rate. I mean, that might be because they come from more traditional families where divorce isn't really an option. So we've seen a decline in arranged marriages in India. And at the same time, you start seeing an increase in divorce. But, you know, I don't actually see an increase in divorce as a bad thing. In the West, divorce became easier in the late 1970s and early 1980s. There was a rush to divorce at that point because people were in deeply unhappy marriages, and it gave them a chance to get out of those marriages. There's research that's being done in the States that says that access to divorce has saved the lives of thousands of women. And I'm guessing in India, it's exactly the same.
Women in South Asia often talk about the shame or the stigma that was attached to divorce. And Imran Khan's ex-wife, Reham Khan, talked about the view of divorced women in Pakistan and said that there they're treated like criminals.
When a woman gets divorced, I think it's very easy for our community to then jump on the bandwagon and demonize her. But the woman doesn't have to be a criminal to be going through a divorce, or becoming a divorcee is almost like a license for anyone to just start maligning the woman. There's obviously two people in a relationship.
Joanna, what would be your view on that? Do you think there is still a sense of shame that people feel, or a stigma around being divorced?
I think it would depend on different societies, and even in countries where divorce is accepted. I think that just anecdotally, people often do still feel that. Just picking up on what Marina was saying about, you know, whether divorce is easy or not, one of the first mediations that I did, somebody said, it turns out getting divorced isn't as easy as getting married. And it was such a sort of simple statement. And I thought it was quite deep as well, because people run into marriage often and don't really give it much consideration. And then actually unpicking things and getting divorced is a very difficult thing, because it's not just about dissolving the piece of paper. It is about taking on the attitudes of those around you and facing a different future. So it's not an easy route, but I agree with Marina, it's also not a bad thing.
We've been talking about divorce rates falling in the West. They're climbing in the Middle East. Egypt's have more than doubled since the process was made easier for women in 2000. And in a country like Kuwait, more than half of marriages are ending in divorce. That's a rate that's higher than America's. And Marina, I wanted to ask you about the pattern of divorce now, whether that's changing. In these countries, are we actually seeing it's the women who are often initiating?
You know, I think this is largely always being true. But certainly all the areas that we have data from, women are way more likely to initiate a divorce. And then when they're surveyed later, they're more likely to say that they were glad they got divorced. Men are much more likely to say they regret the divorce. So it seems to be women's choices that are driving a lot of divorces. Interestingly, in the UK, we see slightly higher divorce rates among same-sex partners where both partners are women. And we would actually expect this to be true. If women are more likely to initiate divorce, any marriages that have two women in it are more likely to end up divorced than in a heterosexual marriage or even a same-sex marriage between two men.
The situation in England and Wales is that the divorce rules have now changed. So previously, it was very much one person had to petition for divorce and the other person could refuse actually to divorce. And so we switched to no-fault divorce. And that means that both people could actually apply together for a joint petition, or one or the other can apply. It's been a couple of years since it changed. I think there was a lot of expectation or hope that it would take the heat out of divorce. I don't think that that is so, because even though you don't have to give lots of reasons as to why you're getting divorced, which puts things on a negative footing from the start, in a way the paper exercise isn't the tricky bit. The difficult part is how do you divide up the assets and what are you going to do about the children? And that hasn't changed.
So those are some of the patterns in divorce. Next, we're going to look more closely at the reasons why people decide to get divorced and the factors which make splitting more likely.
Hi, I'm Simon Jack.
And I'm Zing Sing.
And Good Bad Billionaire is back for a new season, now from the BBC World Service.
Every episode, we pick a billionaire and we find out how they made their money.
And then we judge them. Are they good, bad, or just another billionaire?
So, who are some of the people that you'll hear about in season two?
The richest comedian ever? Jerry Seinfeld's there.
There's also my personal favourite story, the fashion designer who was once a communist mime. That's Miuccia Prada.
And the people behind some of the biggest companies on the planet. Google, TikTok, for example.
But we are kicking off with a sporting superstar, Tiger Woods.
Good Bad Billionaire, from the BBC World Service. Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
This is The Global Story. Follow or subscribe wherever you listen. With me are Joanna Gosling and Marina Adshade. Well, let's dig a bit deeper into why people are getting divorced. Marina, there must be this breaking point moment for many people. What do you think are the issues that can lead up to that moment?
You know, personally, I think that one of the main reasons where people get divorced is that they have had a significant change in circumstances. You know, they might have had the ideal arrangement at the time that they got married, but over the course of people's lives, things change. Let me give you an example from my own life. I married really young. I had no education. I married somebody who was older than me, who had a lot of education, and our relationship worked well for a while. And then in my late 20s, I decided to go back to school. I no longer wanted to be a stay-at-home mother, which was what I was doing in my 20s. And that change in our situation for us just became completely unresolvable. And I think this is true for a lot of marriages because people's situation changes over their lives. Maybe they want children and maybe they change their minds. Maybe they want to live in one location and the other person doesn't want to live in that location. And I think it's those things that are just very difficult to resolve where it no longer becomes the arrangement that people entered into originally.
You're nodding a lot, Joanne.
Yeah, and a lot of what I come across is people whose children are that bit older and they'll suddenly be like, we have just been focused on the children and focused on everything else and not focusing on each other. What is there left between us?
What about the financial entanglement? Mm-hmm. How problematic can that be mm-hmm. during a divorce? And how much is that also a reason that people choose to stay together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often people do choose to stay together because it is extremely difficult to suddenly split the pot to sustain two households. Suddenly two homes are being bought and that couple wouldn't have previously thought that they had any spare cash necessarily to do anything like that. So it's an enormous leap mentally to be able to actually explore that. And for some people, it's true, it's just not necessarily viable. And then material assets often, they have enormous emotional pull. And the family home is obviously the big part in that. But there are all sorts of things. Someone will have inherited something and suddenly that will be looked at for its monetary value. You also have situations where someone's brought something into the marriage and then feels it's deeply unfair that they've suddenly got to split it. And you can be in that situation with them and thinking, I can't see where the empathy comes in here. It's really difficult. And then there'll be a moment, there's always a moment where somebody will hear something. And sometimes, obviously, you've got to, you know, draw their attention to it. But that's when things start to shift.
Marina, I feel like I know about prenups from watching too much American TV growing up, but are they becoming more common around the world, not just in the US?
I think that's a great question. You know, prenups, I always tell my classes of students, if you get married, you should have a prenup. And this really surprises them. But it's a big financial decision to get married. And it makes sense to enter into a marriage having some type of contract in place. There's also big variations around the world on to how assets are shared. Scandinavian countries, they have very little conflict because there is pretty much universal laws on how assets are divided. One of the things that's interesting as well is there is a direct line between increased housing prices and decreasing divorce rates. If you compare somewhere like Canada, where housing prices are increasing, and somewhere like, say, Japan, where housing prices are decreasing because they have such a big decline in their population, you're going to expect to see differences in divorce rates.
Statistically, Marina, are there other factors that mean a couple is more likely to get divorced?
You know, when I was younger, big age gaps were not considered a big deal. I married somebody who was 10 years older than me when I was like 19 and nobody batted an eye. People are more concerned with age gaps now. And one of the big determinants of whether or not people divorce is whether or not there's a big age gap. So once you get beyond 6 years, they have an increased risk of divorce. Cross-cultural marriages have a tendency to have higher divorce rates. So if you marry outside of your religion or outside of your country of origin, or maybe even outside of your race, those marriages don't tend to get the same amount of family support. So they tend to have higher divorce rates.
Joanna, what do you think keeps couples together? What's the key thing that comes out of those sessions that you have with people that they understand?
I mean, to be fair, I'm mediating for people to get divorced.
Okay, so people so, don't then
no,
change their mind?
You do ask, and there are couples where I'll think, actually, do you really still want to get divorced? And you always ask it, but generally, the people that I have come across anyway are going to continue to get divorced. And I think a prenup's a really interesting thing, not just for the contractual part that Marina was talking about, but the conversation that has to happen around that, because that's another issue that happens in marriage that can lead to divorce. Suddenly a situation comes along that a couple can't navigate together. I love a Nora Ephron quote, never marry someone you wouldn't want to divorce. And I think if you don't have good conversations from the start, you can find yourself in a difficult situation later on where suddenly someone is responding in a way that you weren't expecting. And often, ironically, when people are going through a divorce, they do have to start to communicate almost better than they were mm-hmm. because you can coexist without talking about your issues. But when you're divorcing and you do need to discuss what's going to happen with the children, you've got to get to a place where you can speak.
You've just raised something that I wanted us to move on to about what these divorce rates and these patterns of divorce tell us about what's happening to families and relationships mm-hmm. across the world. How does divorce, it's a very general question, obviously, but how does it affect children?
There is a lot of research around the impact on children who don't really have a voice in divorce. So there is child inclusive mediation, and that's about speaking to the children they can choose for the mediator to feed back whatever they think is right or appropriate to the parents. And the reason that that has become quite an important thing is because researching people who are now adults and the impact of their own parents' divorce on them, if they're not heard in that and they don't feel that they've got autonomy, that's really where the damage can set in. You might remember Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin talking about conscious uncoupling.
You know, we didn't know that the conscious uncoupling phrase was going to inspire so much conversation. But I think now what I hear is, thank you so much for showing me another way that you can remain a family, even though you're not a couple, and make it a less traumatic experience for the children. I think ultimately it's had a very positive impact. I mean, I didn't.
And the reason that they wanted to do it that way was so that they really could do the best for their children in terms of saying, okay, this is going to be different, but we're going to work together to make sure that it's as comfortable as it can be for you.
Marina, can I ask you about the role that infidelity has played in divorce and whether that's changed recently?
Infidelity is interesting because if you were to search online what causes divorce, a number of things you'll find say that it's caused by infidelity. But researchers have actually gone to and tried to unpack this relationship. And what they generally find is it's the opposite. It's not that people cheat and then get divorced. It's that people who are in unhappy marriages tend to cheat and then they end up getting divorced. So it's no clear relationship between some happily married couple that would otherwise have stayed together. One person steps outside of the marriage and then they get divorced. That's not likely the scenario.
Infidelity can be overcome, obviously, but again, it revolves around the sorts of conversations that the couple are prepared to have, and both people need to want to get beyond it. It's come to that point because of it not being a great dynamic, and perhaps it's not necessarily even understood by both of the people in the marriage, but invariably, if someone's decided they want out and they've been looking for someone else, it's probably going to be the end.
Joanna, you raised it before I could. Conscious uncoupling. It's the phrase when you talk about divorce that so many people use now, from Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. Is it something that has sort of taken off as an idea, or has it been beneficial?
I am not sure how much it has taken off as an idea, actually. There was quite a lot of derision around it. And, you know, we're talking about societal expectations, cultural expectations around marriage. There are also those around divorce and what divorce looks like and how divorce is portrayed in the media and the high-profile couples that we see having very difficult divorces. It is an enormous shift to say, okay, let's have those good conversations. Let's really put this family at the center of everyone's care on this, because it's almost like that gets lost, I think, in these very antagonistic situations. So I don't think it is the mainstream. Let's have a good divorce. Divorce doesn't have to be awful.
We've been talking about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, Marina, but do you think some of these high-profile divorces kind of skew the conversation at times as well?
People have this perception that, you know, very wealthy people or celebrities or Hollywood stars are more likely to get divorced than everybody else, but they're actually less likely to get divorced than everybody else. Statistically, it's just not true. They stay longer in their marriages. They're less likely to have repeated marriages. There's been economics literature that's been written on this. And I think one of the main reasons it is first of all, financial stress. Getting by is a huge stressor for marriage. If you're wealthy and you have everything you need, you're not arguing about who's emptying the dishwasher and things like that. So it takes that out of the equation. But also, these people in those situations tend to be better educated on average. And one thing that we know is that people who are better educated do tend to divorce at lower rates, possibly in part because one of the side effects of having an education is that you learn to be better at conflict resolution. You learn to be better at talking through things, and that people are able to take advantage of that. But it is not true that people divorce at higher rates when they become wealthy and famous.
Marina, if there are listeners out there who are considering a divorce, what would be your best piece of advice?
Oh, gosh, that is a difficult question. I think it's just a matter of saying, would I be better off single? And is that improvement in my life actually really worth going through the really, really difficult process? There's a saying that the person that you divorce is not the same person that you marry. But I've always thought that the person who you are when you divorced is not the same person you were when you married. Like, I remember how different I was from the time I was 19 and the time I was 29. But one of the things that I've always really struggled with is the idea that a successful marriage is one that ends when somebody dies. I actually would love it if we could just move away from that and recognize that you can have successful marriages that end in divorce. You build lives together, you had families together, but then you reach a point where it was no longer working for both partners. And I really wish we wouldn't call that a failed marriage. You could have a successful career working in one job and switch to another job, and nobody turns around and says, oh, well, that was a failed career.
Marina, it was great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so interesting.
Hasn't it, Joanna?
It has. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. If you'd like to hear more episodes, search BBC The Global Story wherever you get your BBC pods. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Simon Jack.
And I'm Zing Sing.
And Good Bad Billionaire is back for a new season, now from the BBC World Service.
Every episode, we pick a billionaire and we find out how they made their money.
And then we judge them. Are they good, bad, or just another billionaire?
So, who are some of the people that you'll hear about in season two?
The richest comedian ever? Jerry Seinfeld's there.
There's also my personal favourite story, the fashion designer who was once a communist mime. That's Miuccia Prada.
And the people behind some of the biggest companies on the planet. Google, TikTok, for example.
But we are kicking off with a sporting superstar, Tiger Woods.
Good Bad Billionaire from the BBC World Service. Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.